to Speak Out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoy.
All right, ready or not, here we come. Tuesday, February 27th, 2024. Hard to believe, but only two more days in February. Should only be one, but we're leaping this year, right? We're taking a giant leap.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we have to have a leap year every so often because of the clock.
The voice of Councilman David Lane from Lake Havasu City. We also have Mayor Cal Sheehy in the house.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. And you brought me a surprise guest.
We did.
Yeah. And it's funny because she texted me before the show and said, they're bringing a surprise guest today. And I'm like, okay, is it Judge K? She's like, no. And then I stopped guessing. So.
And she's here in person.
Yes.
Jerry Bracamonte.
Hi, everybody.
It's Jerry Bracamonte.
I gave her the title a long time ago, City Manager 2, like Roman numeral 2.
Yeah, City Managers, that's what he said today when we were leaving to come here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Sending the other city manager.
Yes.
Perfect, perfect. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It should be a really good one today. There's a long council agenda from what I could understand. I couldn't log on to the city's website for some reason. Which is nothing new for this computer.
You want to borrow mine? Here you go.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I just get my talking points from the mayor. Thank you very much. So we have a lot to talk about today. And if anyone has a question for any of these three, deep city minds that are at the table, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And I'm going to forego all the housekeeping because we have special people in the house today. So what did you want to talk about first, Mr. Mayor? Do you want to talk about the election?
Well, if we could talk about the Lake Havasu Leadership Excellence Academy, which
Supervisors Academy.
The Supervisors Academy.
Which Jerry is a member of, along with several other members of the city team. This is the first cohort in combination with our supervisors at Lake Havasu City, Mojave Community College, and Arizona at Work. And Jerry, if you want to talk a little bit, they graduate tomorrow after a whole year.
We spent 52 weeks every Wednesday together in a classroom at MCC learning about how to be a supervisor. So all different levels of skills in one classroom, bonding and learning from each other and supporting each other throughout the year. It was a great class. It was developed by our human resources director, Bobby Kimmelton, and she stuck it out with us every class. She was in there, and she gave us real-life scenarios, and it was a great year.
I love those kind of experiences where you already have the experience, so you go in and you're thinking, well, maybe I'll learn something, maybe I won't. Did you learn anything you weren't expecting to
learn? Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I learned a lot. I mean, she went over city policies and some supervisory type policies that I haven't, you know, had the chance to experience yet. Mm-hmm. So now I have some tools, you know, to go forward if I should end up in those scenarios. And but the great thing about it is, I think that we just go about our business in all of our different departments individually, and we forget that we have a whole team of supporters out there in all the other departments that can help us out and enhance our skills. And so we really networked and became a team and built relationships that we probably would have not built if we didn't have the class together.
Sure, sure. Mr. Mayor, you were going to say?
Yeah, so this is such an amazing program. Like, Havasu City has such a dynamic group of people that work for the team. And they have been able to grow through the ranks, no matter if they're in public safety or public works or administration or finance. And it's you don't always get those skills. So you might have the base knowledge of how to do the work. But when you move to a different level and now you're supervising people, how do you have those tools to be able to take that friendship you might have had before, and now you're a supervisor that has to hold accountable? And all of these types of tools were taught to this entire cohort. We talk about the council agenda, which seems that that would just be words on a piece of paper or what we're going to talk about tonight. But the amount of work that the staff has to put together to put together a council communication.
Yeah. And the coordination. Who coordinates all that onto one document?
Exactly.
Yeah,
how do you write it, and how do you meet the deadlines, and how is all of that stuff happen? Although you know this, you know the information, how do you make that happen? Mm-hmm. And so this class taught these supervisors those types of skills. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, the first cohort that Dr. Kimmelton put together. And it's been a resounding success, culminated with one class project, which mm-hmm. Jerry will talk about too. But I know Councilmember Lane, you were really involved in this process when Dr. Kimmelton was first bringing it to council for support, and it's been fantastic so far.
Absolutely. I was lucky in my career to be able, when I became a supervisor, go through some supervision training. When I became a manager, I went through managerial training. It's extremely important to have that continuing professional education, and we did it through MCC and through Dr. Kimmelton. And the skills that they learned, as Jerry said, working together as a team, because the supervisors we have today were the employees of yesterday. So yesterday they were the frontline workers. Today they're the supervisors. Tomorrow they're going to be the managers. And as they continue to develop those relationships and those skills, it just makes the city better for everybody that lives here.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of working together as a team, you're doing a class project, right?
Yes.
I saw the photos online at HavasuNews.com this morning. Didn't really have a way to put that into a story per se for radio, but you could tell the story just as well.
Yeah, so one of our tasks at the end of the program was to complete a capstone project, and several of us class members went around and had conversations with people in different departments and citizens and tried to come up with different projects that would benefit both the city and the community. And several projects were submitted, and in a democratic process, we voted on the one that we felt would benefit the community entirely. And it was actually based from a water conservation plan that was adopted by City Council.
Oh, okay.
Asked for some kind of a demonstration area where you could demonstrate water efficient plants and so forth. And going back to 2011, the Chamber leadership class actually developed the site we went to back in the day, called the Havasu Heart Park, and did a beautification landscaping. And so we actually reached out to that class to let them know that we're not disrupting what they've already done. We just want to enhance it, and here's right. what we're going to do. And they were all fans of it. So we do have their support. We had the chamber's support. We had the city's support. And so we just move forward. So basically, the project is to create a demonstration area where businesses, residents, commercial developers could go and see the plant list that we have on our website live and in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an area for them to go to. It's going to be it's a beautification area. It's just to show the residents that you can have a beautiful landscape area and be water efficient at the same time. So we did the work. We put in the irrigation lines. We literally got in the dirt and dug the holes for the plants. We put in the rock. But most importantly, everything was donated. So we We had organizations that stepped up, like the Keep Havasu Beautiful community that donated funds to help with the irrigation lines, Home Depot, Lowe's, Desert Land Group, A Rock Card, Havasu Enterprises, Star Nursery, and Southside Signs. And they all contributed to this project. And it also lets the residents know that they can go to our local businesses, our local nurseries, Home Depot, Lowe's, Star Nursery, right, and you can find the plants that we planted that you're going to see in person. In addition, there's going to be signage for each of the plants with a QR code. So if the plant is dormant, you can actually scan the QR code to see if it's what it looks like when it's in bloom.
Oh, very cool. So that I brought the picture cool up on HavasuNews.com.
You did.
And you can see city workers with shovels.
But those are not city workers.
Oh, they're not.
That's the Supervisor Academy.
That's what I mean. The Supervisor Academy. But you are city workers.
Well, that's, yes.
They're city employees.
But it's not like the Parks and Rec.
With vests and shovels. Right. Right? Yes. So, I mean, like, we've never seen that before.
Yes.
Did you take the photo?
I took all the photos. I had to take
I thought so because I didn't see you in it.
I had to take a couple selfies at the end just so that I could be a part of the project.
Nice.
But yeah, I have to say that we have a resident expert arborist, you know, in our class,
sure.
Craig Geary. So his design and his mind came to fruition on a napkin with him and a couple of other classmates that also have expertise in planting and trees. And then we submitted that to Desert Land Group, who gave us a beautiful rendering that we could show off professionally.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, the city's so lucky to have a certified arborist. I actually interviewed him. It was either him or one of the other guys years ago, on my first go around here. So it's quite a qualification to have that certified arborist certification.
It is, and Craig is very passionate about it, very knowledgeable. He's also the mastermind behind the trees that are lining the island walking path, and as that continues to develop over the years, it'll be a really beautiful area that has some shade in certain areas,
right,
all based on his skills. But we have a fantastic team throughout the organization, mm-hmm, and really excited that the Supervisor Excellence Academy has been able to,
right,
catapult our team to prepare them for their next jobs within the organization.
Yeah, and you need a certified arborist out there when you're not sure if any of those supervisors have green thumbs, right? So I don't know if you do, but I certainly do.
I don't.
Oh, I do. So
that's why she's buying a camera.
That's right. Absolutely. So going on to the next topic, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the election and packets that have been pulled. Last count was 13 candidates for city council.
Yes, there's three seats that are available for election this year, and a lot of interest. We have two of our incumbents have pulled a packet and have an interest in running for re-election, and that's Vice Mayor Cameron Moses and Councilmember Nancy Campbell are included in that 13 folks that have pulled a packet so far. So with the folks, it's 14.
Yes, it is.
It is 14.
Yes, it's 14 now. We had another gentleman pull a packet on Friday.
Yeah, so 14.
How much
people.
Time do they have left to get signatures in?
Just about 30 days or so.
Okay.
So all of the dates have now changed. So state law changed about a week and a half ago. On a late Friday night, the governor signed the bill. It was a bipartisan bill that moved up the primary by 1 week. And so the primary will be at the end of July instead of the first week of August this year, which they're still working on the dates that are legally required for signature verification, mm-hmm, and the like. But we do have a lot of interest. You know, when you pull a packet, those 14 citizens that have pulled a packet, some just have a general interest, but may not actually pursue a position. We'll know that first week of April when all of the packets are due on what the number of candidates we will have that are seeking,
right,
election to those offices.
Well, this year we have a little change here at KNTR Talk on Speak Out. So instead of the half hour that we've normally provided for city council candidates, they can actually have up to an hour this year.
Oh, great. In one show or
yes,
in two shows? Yeah,
in one show.
Yeah, fantastic.
Absolutely. And, anyone who wants to book that, once you are a oh, what is that
official
called?
Candidate?
Yeah, official candidate. There's a word for it. I can't remember the word right off the bat, but once you are qualified candidate,
yes,
and you are on the ballot, give me a call and I'll book you on the show. And it does, not really a time period, but we like to go about 45 days before the primary election. So
yeah, it's great.
That is coming up. It'll be here sooner than you think.
It really will. And I thank you for doing that, because it's so important for citizens to be able to understand who the candidates are, what their reasons are,
right,
for running, and what they're going to do,
right,
when they're serving you on the city council.
Yeah, right, right. And so I just wanted to get that announcement out there. And then let's go ahead and take a short break before we go to the next topic. And we'll talk about the rezoning of a parcel. There's Kiowa Ponds, there's road projects galore, and it's all, there's a pretty heavy agenda tonight, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah, we have 15 public hearing items.
How much of that can you get on the consent agenda just to shorten things?
Yeah, no, they're all important. So
I know.
We'll be there all night.
I know.
Yes.
Hopefully Jerry will come back in the next segment. Possibly.
I'll be back.
I know you have a lot of duties as city manager, too.
Yeah, I have a real job.
You have a real job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not like me.
She sounded like Arnold there.
Yeah.
Right. I'll be back.
I'll be back. Absolutely. Councilman David Lane and Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Sheehy, along with, of course, Jerry Bracamonte. And we'll be back with more in a moment. Give us a call if you have a question. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. A little Jersey music from Bon Jovi as we go to break. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us on Speak Out. Music for Jerry Bracamonte. Ha! See how I brown nose? Pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
I'm just saying, you know, if you're listening, Jess Knutson, that song I would never play for you. So. All right. Welcome back to Speak Out. Brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, Patio Paradise by Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. You might actually beat that record one day, Mr. Mayor, right?
That's a lot.
It's like no comment. 1 year older than the London Bridge, ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzy Steakhouse, our newest sponsor, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius, an all-veggie sandwich. How about that? And we're back up and streaming online at KNTRtalk.com, where you can find our show archives as well. And don't forget to shop local, because small business is kind of a big deal. And we're going to keep Jerry for one more segment, because she wants to talk about Vietnam Veterans Day.
Yeah, Vietnam Veterans Day is coming up on Friday, March 29th. Gates open at 10:30. We're honoring all who served. The location is the Friends of the Fair Rodeo Grounds out at Sarah Park. No RSVP is required, and just come on out for some food, some good talk, and some music. The music is sponsored by the VFW and the VFW Auxiliary Post 9401, and the hot dogs are provided by the Elks Lodge.
Mr. Mayor, you're there every year for Vietnam Veterans Day. What's the turnout like?
You know, it's a great turnout. So it a little weather dependent, of course, but the weather is generally nice. But well over 200 people attend each year, and again, it's for all veterans, and it's to celebrate you know, their sacrifices and commitment to our country, with a focus on Vietnam. And Jerry has coordinated this effort for all of the years that we've done.
Yeah, we're Vietnam War commemorative partners, and that's kind of how it all began.
Yeah, several years ago, and we've expanded it. We've done dinners, and we've done things at banquet halls. Mm-hmm. But this outdoor venue out at Friends of the Fair at the Rodeo Grounds has been a really great location for the last several years. And again, the Elks Club, is cooking up hot dogs, and we have donations from lots of different organizations that will be there. And it's really just a day of fellowship. So it's real minor on the speeches and the ceremony and pageantry, but more on just fellowship and just to thank our veterans for their service.
No, very cool.
It's very important. You know, my generation, the people that served in Vietnam and during the 70s, we were even told, don't wear your uniform off base. People didn't care about the military like they do today. And, and our veterans that came back from Vietnam and served during that period of time didn't get the recognition for serving their country that they should have gotten. And this is an opportunity for us to say thank you and welcome home. We're glad you're here. And we will remember those that didn't get to come home. But it's very, very important that we make sure that those that went and served our country to maintain our way of life realize just how much we appreciate them.
And thank you for your service, both in the United States Air Force and your law enforcement career as well.
It's one of those things. This is my 42nd year of public service, because I went from school to the military to the highway patrol, and now, you know, serving on the city council. And it's just a labor of love. I've never really worked a day of my life, to be honest with you. It's been a lot of fun. And I was talking to our new airport manager the other day. He's a retired 2-star general. I don't know if you knew that or not, but our new airport manager has a lot of experience in that realm. He is a retired major general of the United States Air Force, and he's running our airport. And we were talking about our service, and I've been retired, you know, for a long time, and I still have dreams that I'm called back into the military.
Wow.
I still have dreams that I'm called back into the highway patrol. It's the weirdest thing, especially when I'm really tired is when I have those dreams. Mm-hmm. And I do it in a heartbeat. I see these young kids that are serving today. The mayor and I did a thing on Saturday with one of our local veterans that's a crew chief on the Black Hawk that came in, and we did a little ceremony with his entire unit. And I was jealous.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to go serve again, and I see these kids graduating the academy. We did a badge pinning ceremony for some kids that just joined our police department, and I'm jealous. Mm-hmm. I want to do it all over again.
Yeah. I love it when those Ospreys come in, too, you know, at the airport. But, yeah, you want proof that Councilman Lane has never really worked a day in his life? Just go to a Kiwanis meeting, right? I'm kidding. All he does, the only thing you do wrong is he doesn't watch the clock so much sometimes. It's like,
I got to get back to work.
Yeah, it's like 10 after 1. Hey, man, I got to get out of here.
Oh, it's because you guys talk so much.
Oh, is that why? Well, at least you don't have Myron there tapping his watch, right?
Yeah. Hey, I very seldom go past 5 after.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
I'm sticking to it.
All right, back with more in a moment. We're going to say bid adieu to Jerry Bracamonte.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You have to get something for the city or something by noon? Is that what I heard?
I have to pick up our cake for our graduation tomorrow.
Ah, of course you're in charge of something, right? It's a supervisor's group. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. And looks like Lake Havasu Marine Association President Rick Rigler is listening. So I'm going to give him a shout-out. He's just sent me a text that said, 3 great guests. So there you go. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul LaVoy. We're back on Speak Out, and a funny story associated with that song, which was the very first song I learned to sing and play on drums. I'm not going to say I sang it well, but at least I could play it well. So, Anyway, we've got Mayor Cal Sheehy and Councilmember David Lane in the studio, and Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Springburg Wealth Management by Mojave Community College, Sun Power by Esme Electric, by SamsGuns.com, and Sammy going to be back on the air this Friday. Should be interesting. Sam had last month off. By Doritas Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. And don't forget, shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. And give us a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687, so I don't feel like the three of us are just talking to ourselves. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio.
I like phone calls.
I do, too. You like to hear from the constituents, and
absolutely.
I know you
do, absolutely.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
So, let's talk about that rezoning. There's a parcel at London Bridge Road, Highway 95. Oh, my gosh. We've gone through the ringer with this one. It was going to be a U-Haul facility at one time. What's going on now?
Yes, so this evening there will be a rezone hearing for this area. It's the triangle piece of land as you first are entering into Lake Havasu if you're coming from the north. So it's before it's north of London Bridge Road. It's that pie-shaped slice there. And so what's before us today will be an opportunity with the plan development, which actually lays out what it'll be. There'll be a really small park-like amenity in there. There'll be an area for up to five restaurant sites with or without a drive-through, a hotel site. But it'll be kind of as the gateway that you come into Lake Havasu when you're coming over the horizon, what you would first see. It is coming before the City Council with a recommendation 7-0 from our Planning and Zoning Commission, which have already heard this item. And so that will be in front of us tonight. We've had several other developments come forward on that same parcel of land in the past, but this one seems to actually be moving forward.
Does that hold a lot of weight, planning and zoning?
Yeah, you know, it's a public hearing, and it allows citizens to go through the process and have their voices heard. And so before you even go through a zoning request, there's a neighborhood meeting. And so sometimes we get citizens that reach out to us, and they have questions about something or they're opposed to something, but we don't even know about it yet because the requirement to even have an application is this neighborhood meeting. You have to have that so the neighborhood's advised and informed. And then it goes to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which those neighbors then have the opportunity during a public hearing to express their opinion. And then it comes before City Council with, again, another public hearing. So the council can also hear the folks' views on whatever it is. So it does weigh heavily. I watch all of the Planning and Zoning Commission meetings. I don't attend because the Planning and Zoning Commission is appointed by the council. And, you know, no one wants their boss sitting in the room looking at them to try and influence it. We want a hearing that is free of any influence and is just what the facts are and has unbiased opinions from citizens before it comes before the council. But I do watch them all to understand what it's like before we go into our hearing.
I do the same thing, and I watch those ahead of time to hear what the public members had to say and what our board members had to say and what their thought process was, the way they voted. And once again, as the mayor said, I don't attend the meetings. I don't want to influence their decision. If they're reading my body language or just seeing me out there, they think, oh, this must be more important to him because he showed up to this meeting. I don't go to any of their meetings. How can they advise us if we're at those meetings? And that's different than, like, say, the Parks and Rec, where we actually have a council liaison, because they will send things to us, but not necessarily a voting recommendation on a change that will happen within the city.
Okay. Let's talk about something. Boy, I don't think I've talked about this for a few years anyway on this program. Kiowa Ponds. Explain what Kiowa Ponds is and why Kiowa Ponds is on the agenda tonight.
Sure. So Kiowa Ponds is the area of land that is at the intersection of Kiowa and Highway 95. It's really one of the very few wide open spaces of Highway 95 frontage that's still available. It historically was a parcel of property that Mr. McCulloch used as part of his factory operations when he was operating the McCulloch Chainsaw Factory. The city acquired that land through the process of incorporation and has since maintained that area. Any citizen or person that wants to purchase government land, they can do so. There's a process to do that. That's what's in front of us today. We did have several years ago, back in the mid-2000s,
yes.
We had the opportunity to have a Target there, the Target that now many of our citizens drive to Bullhead City for.
Uh-huh.
And that Target was specifically slated for that property. It's zoned. If you read the current zoning of that property, it fits a Target, and that's the only thing that could go there. We lost that process through, you know, when people talk about do elections matter, they do matter. And what occurred here is an election occurred. It created some unsettling times in Lake Havasu, where the city manager at the time left the employment of Lake Havasu City and went and took a job as the city manager of Bullhead City. And with him, that project went. And that's how Target ended up in Bullhead City rather than Lake Havasu. So really important to
he's
know.
He's now retired in Sedona, by the way.
Oh, he is, yes. He went from Bullhead to Sedona,
I believe,
correct?
So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, great guy. But, you know, uncertain times.
Son played pro football.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, uncertain times create, you know, those types of things. And it happens, but...
Is that land, sorry to cut you off, but that land, from what I've understood in the past, it might have some chemicals or metal or something. It's all buried in that. Is that land okay to develop on?
It is, yeah. That's all been cleared.
Citizens... Was that the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality?
Correct,
okay.
Yes. And so there is some monitoring that still occurs, and you know, many of our citizens see the monitoring wells that have been over in that area over the years.
I got you.
But we do have a clean bill of health on that property from Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, so it's good to proceed. And what occurred here is we had someone petition to purchase the property. The property was appraised. It went to an auction. Lake Havasu City uses an online auction house for our auctions. And we now, this evening, will hear this item with the highest bidder who bid on this project.
What's the size of that parcel?
Councilmember Lane, do you have that up?
Interesting. I'd like to find out what a parcel that size goes for along Highway 95.
It is 10.29 acres.
Okay.
And the actual address is 2801 Highway 95, which is just to the south of Kyle.
Sure.
There.
It's a good size.
Yes, and if anybody has driven up and down the highway any time in the last several years, you saw the drilling going on out there while they were doing the testing, and we got that clean bill of health. So there's no issues whatsoever with selling that property.
All right, very good. And then what is the council's tonight? What would the vote be for? To release that property?
Correct, yeah, to enter into negotiations not even negotiations, because we know the price. That's what the auction did, and so we would just finalize the purchase.
Okay, perfect. I know you wanted to talk about some road projects today as well, and those projects being on the council agenda.
Yes, no, really exciting. We get a lot of feedback from our citizens about our roads and the condition of our roads, and so we, as a city council and as a city, have really prioritized road projects throughout the entire community. Highway 95, which has been a fantastic project, is a project of Arizona Department of Transportation, the state organization, but that was done through legislative action of our local legislative delegation led by Representative Biasucci, Senator Borelli, and Representative Gillette. Also, former Representative Cobb had a lot to do with it as well as we went through that process, so we're really grateful for that, and that has been a really nice addition. But we also wanted to ensure that we had local road projects as well, so the interior roads in our community. The council invested $10 million in our current budget to do these local road projects, and tonight we'll have a hearing to award a bid for about half of that, a little less than $5 million of the roads, which will include really major corridors, including McCulloch Boulevard from Smoke Tree down to Lake Havasu Avenue, Swanson from Highway 95 to Smoke Tree, Riviera, some on South Palo Verde, And this is augmented by some of the projects we've already done on Lake Havasu Avenue from Acoma to Kiowa, Industrial, so really highly trafficked areas. And we still have additional monies in the budget that will be coming forth in subsequent months to be able to award that. But this evening, it's a really great first step to get a big chunk of those roads done.
Yeah, I noticed, speaking of roads, Industrial, just west of Bradley Fort, over there, it goes from asphalt to concrete and back to asphalt. What is that all about?
Yeah, there's a lot of work that's going on over there. Not only was the roadway a concern over there, but it's also our underground infrastructure. So we've had a lot of water main breaks in that area, and it's actually lifted some of the road up. But that's in our industrial area, so we do get a lot of heavy, heavy equipment in that area. And so we've been putting concrete down in certain areas where we do have a lot of industrial equipment.
Smart, actually.
To protect the roads.
Yeah.
You'll notice that also at South Palo Verde and London Bridge Road, there's an area there that is concrete as well. That's new. And we'll continue to do that in certain areas that are strategic that make sense for the type of road traffic that they're receiving. And so Industrial is getting the underground infrastructure repaired, fixed, and replaced, and then the new roadway put on top of it.
Yeah, and longevity as far as concrete goes as opposed to asphalt is 4 times more, I believe. So.
And it's quite a bit more expensive, too.
Yeah, right.
One of the things to remember, too, as we do these roads, we're not only just investing in the infrastructure and the $10 million in the roadways, but when we tear these roads up so that we can do this much work to them, we're also replacing infrastructure under the roads because it doesn't make sense to do the road, not repair what may be underneath it and is old, and then have to tear it back up here and just a couple months or a couple years. So we're fixing infrastructure under the roads at the same time that we're fixing the roads.
Right.
So that we'll have longevity as we go through. And the mayor mentioned Highway 95. One of the things that I'm trying to get across to people too is when this is all done, we're going to do a fog seal on Highway 95. So right now you see a lot of the seams as they did this lane, then they did that lane. The fog seal should take care of that, but you can't stripe it. For about 30 days, if I'm correct, you can't stripe it. So what's going to happen is there is striping down now, but once they do that fog seal, there's going to be a period of time where all you'll have is the lane markers that go between them without the striping. Mm-hmm. It's done on purpose. It's planned that way. So the fog seal will help protect this new asphalt that we've just put down. And then once that's cured, then we will put the final striping down, and it'll look way better than it even does today. And it's—I drive the highway every day, and it's
what an improvement.
It's right. A huge improvement.
Right, right. I think it improves your mileage as well. I've kind of noticed.
Yeah, I was talking to Councilmember Lane on Saturday. We had an event at the airport, and then we had an event in town, and so we were kind of caravanning. I don't ever use the highway. I take Lake Havasu Avenue and then jump on the highway at North Palo Verde, and I took the highway because I didn't want to lose Councilmember Lane and. The amount of traffic on that highway, I understand the complaints I receive now based on the volume of traffic on a Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or what time it was. It's shocking.
Yeah, we're driving down the road, and I called the mayor on the phone. He's right in front of me, right?
Yeah.
Hands-free device, of course. But there's a gouge in the left lane going south.
Huh?
Somebody had a flat tire already, and it's gouged the new highways.
Oh, like, boy.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Right, right,
so
right.
They didn't even know they had a flat tire.
Should have seen it during the weekend of winter blast. Holy cow, the amount of visitors that came into this town was amazing.
Sure. Yes. It's a big convention.
What that? We didn't really get a chance to talk about this off the air, but there was an announcement on LinkedIn, I found that was emailed to me, and then I thought, oh, well, that would make it a really good news story, probably for tomorrow. But there's an open house or a reception for the new courthouse tomorrow Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. Thursday morning at 10. You want to talk about that?
Sure, yes.
I mean, this is a long-awaited project.
Yeah, really exciting. We'll have the Chief Justice of the Arizona Supreme Court and some other dignitaries that will be here to help cut the ribbon for the new courthouse. It's a fantastic project that we're really excited to get open. Generally, I save this to the end, but it's paid for in cash. It took us many years to build it, 5 to be exact, but we did that really carefully by acquiring the land and paying for that and then saving up for multiple budget cycles to have enough money to pay for it in cash. But it's our first municipal courthouse, and it was time. We didn't have enough space in our shared space that we were sharing with the county. great partners, but they're excited we're out too because they didn't have enough space for what they do. And so now everyone can stretch their arms out a little bit and we can serve our citizens. Magistrate Kalali, our judge that's responsible for the municipal court, was telling a story that there was a case that was happening in the new courthouse. It was a jury trial, and they had to continue it. And if we had to continue it in our old space at College Drive, mm-hmm. it would have been about 6 months for the continuation, just because of the timing of courtroom space availability. They were able to continue it to the next day and get that person their speedy trial and adjudicate the case through. And so it's just one example of how that courthouse is already working, in addition to some of the things we've been planning with additional treatment courts that will help lower the recidivism rate and get our citizens that find themselves in trouble back in upstanding citizens of our community.
I want to get back to that additional treatment courts that you just said. Is the elevator in then? Does that mean everything's ADA compliant?
Yes.
I used the elevator yesterday. I did a walkthrough checkup on it yesterday to see how they're coming with the upstairs, the downstairs, because it is a fully operational courthouse now, and the elevator's been installed, and I took it just to make sure that I didn't get stuck between floors.
Yeah. What do you think the timeline is on the council going to the upstairs portion?
Well, you know, the police facility right now is over 30 years old, and it has a lot of issues. And the council awarded a bid for the plumbing repairs and some of the repairs that are occurring there. And as part of that, some of the restroom facilities are going to have to be closed down at intervals. And so working with the city manager's office, we're trying to determine that right now to balance when is the appropriate time to get over there and use it. But we also have to test all of the equipment to make sure when the meeting starts that we go live on Channel 4 and are streaming so everyone has access to what we're doing. So maybe in one of our meetings in March, maybe in April, we actually don't know. We're still working through kind of all of those details.
Really?
Yes.
It's really important.
That soon, though.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, we could actually do our first meeting in March if we can get Channel 4 up. It's amazing how many people approach me in the grocery store or wherever and say, hey, I watch you on Channel 4.
Right, or online.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we have that up and running so that the citizenry that cannot come to the meeting still get the opportunity to see what's going on.
Well, I know the challenge was IT, but I want to get to this treatment courts that you talked about. I know there's a veterans treatment court right now. What other courts are on the horizon?
So we have the veterans treatment court, which is an award-winning court. We also have the youth treatment court, which has been in existence for a long time and is very successful. And the next treatment court would be a cohort court that would deal with drug and behavior health issues. And the judge is putting that together now with his team to be able to offer that and put all of the elements together. But there's a lot of coordination that has to occur with the police department, the city attorney's office, the prosecutor's office, and then, of course, the court. So, and then also to have the services available that these folks can get through the treatment that they need to be able to see themselves in the program.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'll say treatment courts really do work. You know, we've discussed this so many times on the show. I was a policeman for a lot of years. Not everybody I arrested. In fact, the vast majority of the people that I put in jail were not criminals. They were people that made mistakes. And when you take and put everybody together in the same type of a situation, and you're mixing the criminals with the people that have made mistakes, and now they have that stigma, the best thing we can do, instead of just incarcerating them, let's treat the underlying problem. Why did they make this mistake? Is it an abuse situation? Do they need some mental health counseling? If we can get people back on the right track instead of just incarcerating them, it saves our taxpayers money. Wow. They don't have to incarcerate. They don't have to pay for this. They don't have to see the same people in court month after month, year after year. So when you reduce that recidivism rate, you reduce the amount of money that it costs the taxpayers.
Well, there's a lot of times when you lump them all in together, those people that made mistakes learn how to become criminals.
Well, and then and it really gets to their self-esteem. You throw somebody in jail, and it starts to make them feel bad about themselves when really what they did was they made a mistake.
Yeah.
And, they have to pay for that mistake. However, throwing somebody in jail for a mistake with a hardened criminal that is a predator is not good for anybody.
I got you. Anything you want to announce before we go to break, Mr.
Mayor? No, I think we covered everything. We have a big meeting tonight. We invite you all to come out, 5:30 p.m. at the City Council Chambers at the Police Department, and thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun.
Good having you both back. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Sheehy, and, of course, Council Member David Lane. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Speak Out as the mayor moseys next door to record with Marissa June. I'm going to tell you about a date you're going to want to save in your calendar. It's March 6th. Save the date. There is Dr. Sandy Breese, who's the co-author of a book called Power of Community. That book is going on sale on Amazon. She is, of course, from Telesis Academy. And she says... She announces the publication of the new book, Power of Community. She co-authored it with other wonderful authors, ready to launch on March 6th. And there's a 24 to 48 hour special price of $1.99 in honor of the book's release that will be available. More details will follow. And her chapter is called From Vision to Reality. Again, that's Dr. Sandy Breese from Telesis. And, it's actually a pretty cool book. If you have any questions, give her a call, 928-706-8663, and you can find out how to reserve your book, Power of Community. Again, going on sale March 6th on Amazon. All right, that does it for me, Paul Lavoie. Stay tuned for Speak Out 2.0, the new number. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to call today, but there's going to be a really good guest on, Mackenzie Covert, and he is from the city of Bullhead City. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.